for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Tuesday afternoon, June the 30th, 1987. Midsummer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Gene and Earlene Moody of Baton Rouge, Louisiana, are the teachers of the afternoon.
Guess what I'm going to teach about today? Biblical curses. God impressed me that this was to be my main lesson for this particular camp meeting. Then I got a set of tapes from the last camp meeting, which I didn't get a chance to come to. And lo and behold, Glenn had taught a lesson on biblical curses. I thought it was excellent, and I would recommend you get that tape. And also, Norman Parrish had taught on the area of occult curses. And I thought those two were two good parallel teachings. Okay, so I'm going to start off the biblical curses for this camp meeting, and then Glenn is going to continue tomorrow afternoon. And I want Earlene to teach with me because this is something that God has taught her in certain areas of biblical curses. Now, I teach you what I know. I don't hold anything back. Now, the Bible is like an engineer's handbook. Okay? And I just accept it like that. And when I first came in the full gospel, I was real disturbed because I had never been to Bible school and never been to the seminary. So I asked God, well, what am I going to do about this? I was real sincere. And God says, well, just accept the Bible in simple childlike faith, put it to practice, and watch it work. And so this is what I have done now for many years. And I've seen many signs and wonders and miracles. And this is the way I look at the Bible. Now, I'm going to use some scripture here. Just enough to whet your appetite. I could give you probably 100 scriptures, but I'm just going to use some scripture to get across the point. Really, I like to use a lot more scripture, but I try to cover a whole subject, and I don't have the time. Exodus 34, 6 and 7. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, Lord, the Lord, God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty. Listen to this. Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and to the fourth generation. So it's talking about the iniquities of the fathers being visited upon the children. Now let's go to Deuteronomy 5, 9, and 10. Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Now let's go over to 1 Kings 21, 29. Seest thou how Ahab humbleth himself before me? Because he humbleth himself before me, I will not bring the evil in his days, but in his son's days will I bring the evil upon his house. And you can read about that in the Bible. Now, the amazing thing to me is Ahab was the most evil king there had ever been up to his time. Now, there were more evil kings after him. And yet he humbled himself and God forgave him. You know, if it were me, I probably would have zapped him. But God forgave him. That just shows you the graciousness and long-suffering of God. And apparently he repented and God forgave him. But you see, that didn't stop him. The evil went on the son. Psalm 79:8. Oh, remember not against us former iniquities. Let thy tender mercy speedily prevent us, for we are brought very low. So he's asking God not to remember against us the former iniquities of our ancestors. Jeremiah 32:18. Thou showest loving kindness unto thousands, and recompensest the iniquity of the fathers into the bosom of their children after them. The great, the mighty God, the Lord of hosts is his name. So here again, it's the iniquity of the father coming down upon the children. And I'll use one more verse, Nahum 1:3. Nahum 1, verse 3. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power, and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. So God will not acquit the wicked, and God is not going to be laughed at. Okay, how do we learn about curses? We learn through 12 years of intensive experience of working with thousands of people. We learned in mass deliverance with groups of people, and especially in the ministry to individuals. We learned by spending sufficient hours with individuals to find out what was wrong with them and then taking the time to get rid of the demons they were holding on. The ministry to others is a proven ground for the knowledge we have gained. After 12 years, we are still constantly learning more about how the enemy operates. You never learn at all. And just like Glenn said in the prayer meeting, see, I'm here to learn. I'm here to pick up from other ministers, from anyone. I mean, I'm open to learning from anyone. Anything I don't know, I'm open. I want to be open to God. Lord, teach me, and I expect to be learning until I die. And I don't expect to ever learn at all about deliverance. I don't ever expect it. There's just too much to learn. Our ministry changed dramatically when we learned that we needed to break curses and how to do it. Our deliverance sessions became more smooth with less manifestations and violence. It is as simple as this. If the demons have a right to remain before God because of a curse, you will not be able to cast them out. Or if you happen to do it, they will be able to come back in and re-enter the person. Now, I'd like for Earlene to tell you about Indian curses in her life.
First of all, I want to tell you some of the ways you can tell whether or not you have curses on you from ancestors. And one way is found in Romans 7, verse 15. I do not understand my own actions. I am baffled, bewildered. I do not practice or accomplish what I wish. I do the very thing that I loathe, which my moral instincts condemn. What problem was Paul having? A similar problem to what we have. You know, if you have a curse on you from your ancestors, then in that particular area, you will be receiving pressure from demonic forces to get you to do those things. When I was a young girl, there was a real pull on me to be fierce and to be angry. And I had no idea where that came from. But when someone crossed my path who really had a confrontation with me, I could get strong enough to beat up my six-foot, two-year-old brother than me. He was 2 years older than me, and he stood over 6 feet tall, and I could beat him up. Later on, we found out that because of the fierceness of the Indians and the anger that was within them, most of the people who have an Indian inheritance will have anger, and they will have fierceness within themselves. And if they try to control it, you know, they just seethe inside. All right, they had this because, mainly because we took the land away, and they had a lot of rejection and anger over that. And so they meet a lot of things with just pure force. All right, if you have sexual inheritance like the curse of the bastard, then you may have pull toward things that are sexual. You may have enticement toward those things, and yet of your own moral sense, you don't agree. So this is one of the ways that you can tell if you have curses on you from inheritance. You will have pull to do things or participate in things or the inability to say no to things that with just your own human natural mind you don't agree with. Okay, like lying and stealing and so forth. Okay, now I want to tell you about the curse of the bastard on me. All right, when I was living in Baton Rouge about 20 years ago, I suddenly wound up in the hospital on the verge of a heart attack. And just as smoothly as it came, it left. No one found a cause for it. And when everything smoothed off, I just go home. 5 years later, in Minneapolis, Minnesota, the same thing. Yet as a daily basis, as a walk in my life, I had no problems with my heart. And we found in ministry that that was a curse on me because of Indian ancestry. Also, many times women have curses on their reproductive organs and on their glands. When I was 17, there was an attack on my thyroid in which my thyroid was completely destroyed and had to be removed. All right? If you have glandular problems, heart problems, then you may have this type of curses on you. I went to a doctor, and he told me. He was an old Jewish doctor in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and he did this treadmill test with me. And he told me at that time, he said, there's nothing wrong with your heart. He said, you can see the charts and the machines don't lie, which, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't. But anyway, he said they don't. And after he said that, he said to me, he said, you know, I'm going to tell you something, and if you tell it when you leave here, I'm going to say I didn't say it. But he said, you know, according to our testament, he said, somebody in your family has been worshiping demons. And I said, not my family, we're all Baptists. And I went down and met Gene on the street in Minneapolis, and I told him, you know, that doctor's crazy. This is what he told me. But, you know, some years later, when my father died, I remembered that. And then the Lord showed me what to do about it. So I'm just going to briefly tell you what he showed me. Exodus 18 talks about how the curse of things from fathers to children would no longer be used against people if they repent and cleanse themselves. Exodus 20 tells you what you can be cursed for. And Leviticus 26:40 tells you what to do about the curses that are on you from former generations. And if you'd like, since the other two you're familiar with, let's read that one, Leviticus 26:40 and 41. And you know, the Lord read this to me, but I didn't know it was in the Bible. Do you know, it was 6 months after I did what he told me to do that I found the scripture. All right, now, the people are in bondage now when the Lord is telling them this. And he says, but if they confess their own and their father's iniquity and their treachery which they committed against me, and also that they, because they walk contrary to me, I also walk contrary to them and brought them into the land of their enemies. If then their uncircumcised heart is humbled, and then they accept the punishment for their iniquity, then I will earnestly remember my covenant with Jacob, my covenant with Isaac, and my covenant with Abraham, and earnestly remember the land. So what I did is I said, Father, I ask you to forgive my ancestors and forgive me, and that you cleanse my bloodline going down to my daughter. And I accept the punishment that is justly meted out for this. And do you know that was 11 years ago? Until today, I've had no problems with my heart.
Okay, early I'd like for you to repeat that. Step one, two, three, four. What did you do first?
All right, the first thing that I did was I repented for what my ancestors had done and that they worshipped other gods. And then the second thing that I did is I asked the Lord to forgive us for, you know, because this is in my bloodline. And then I said, I acknowledge that you have a right to punish me, that this punishment that is upon my family line is correct. And then I told Satan, you have to remove this thing from me. I command it to leave in Jesus' name. And from that day to this, I haven't had any problems.
How do curses take effect? Curses take effect when you or your ancestors have committed certain acts which are contrary to the Word of God. This is an act of sin which then brings curses on you and your descendants. The demons will then try to perpetuate the curse for all remaining generations of descendants. The demons can enter the child in the womb at conception. The child enters life with this characteristic, which is demonic. The world would say that the child inherited this characteristic from his ancestors. What was inherited was a demon passed down through the bloodline.
Okay, I'm the one in the family that had the curse of the bastard, as far as we know. And I'd like to read you, in fact, turn to Deuteronomy 23. And we're going to do the second and the third verse and consider two things, incest and the bastard. A person begotten out of wedlock shall not enter into the assembly of the Lord, even until his tenth generation. Shall his descendants not enter into the congregation of the Lord? An Ammonite and a Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to their tenth generation. Their descendants shall not enter into the assembly of the Lord. All right, an Ammonite and a Moabite were children of incest. All right, these are some things that we found common. Everything that is common to the curse of the bastard is common to the curse of incest. Plus, in the curse of incest, you find mental problems and retardation and physical deformities. When a bastard is conceived, he's not conceived in love. He's conceived in lust. True love is protective and providing. Neither of these is present when a bastard is conceived. Demons of lust will follow all the children of these people, irregardless of whether they marry or not. Even if they marry someone else and they have children by them, those children also will have the demons to follow them. Some present-day observation. In the family where the curse of the bastard is on them, you'll see more bastards. That's the number one thing. The second thing we've observed is the family members don't get along. If you and your brothers and your sisters just cannot get along, then you might have this problem. Another one is that you don't feel right in church. You might like a church for a while, but then soon you're not feeling comfortable there. And another one is, especially for the women, is that when you stand before someone, or someone seems to be looking at you in particular, you feel that they see something. You don't know what it is, but you feel they see something, and you're trying always to hide that. And I had that problem. You know, I couldn't stand up here and have anybody look at me. You know, I could stand up here and talk to you if they had a wall and you couldn't see me. Now, there's a lot of delinquency in families where the curse of the bastard is, and there is mental illness and emotional illness. Oh, he wants me to tell you about me. My grandfather, my mother's daddy, he was conceived by a lady and a man who married in the church. But this was long about probably before the turn of the century. And railroads were like airplanes are today. You know, it's an interesting and exciting way to travel. And this man was with the railroad. And he had areas of the South that he visited on a three-month basis. And he had three children by this lady. And then he did not come back anymore. And when she went to the railroad station to ask them, would they telegraph and would they search around and see if they could find what had happened, she got a message back, he was dead. So they told her at that depot, said, you file for his pension and everything and his railroad passes and so forth, and you'll be just fine. So she files for these things, and she gets a letter back, and it says, you're the fifth one who's asked, and we only pay pensions and give passes to the first one. And this is how we found out that even though they had been married in the church, you see, this man had at least five wives throughout the area. So this loosed upon our family all these things. And my mother and her brothers and sisters have had problems between them. And until just the last 5 or 6 years, my brothers and I seemed to get along all right. But now we have one brother who's just completely withdrawn from us. And none of us seems to have found out from the Lord yet how we can help him to return to us.
How are curses identified? We learn to recognize many curses by name, either through experience or by the names or characteristics mentioned in the Bible. Sometimes we break curses because the demon says it has a right to remain because of the curse. This happens many times when a demon will not leave. Sometimes we break curses because we feel impressed by the Holy Spirit to do so. Nothing is lost by breaking a curse that does not exist. Everything is gained by breaking a curse that does exist. Now, on the back table, we brought 100, the curse of Jezebel, and 100, the curse of Ahab. I have these printed up 500 at a time, and I give them away. And also our testimony is back there, in case you'd like to get a copy of our testimony. And I recommend that the men get a copy of Ahab, and the women get a copy of Jezebel. These are two excellent booklets, which have been printed by the Hegwisch Baptist Church. Actually, I don't think they print them anymore. I think I'm probably the only one printing these. The curse of Ahab is for men, and the curse of Jezebel is for women. I might say that also I found men who have Jezebelic characteristics and women who have Ahab characteristics. Men, and like I said, it can be switched about. Now, I'd like for Earlene to tell you about the Ahab-Jezebel curses found in the Bible.
All right, in the Bible, you don't have to go far till you run into Jezebel and Ahab. Now, of course, that's just because they were so outstanding with this characteristic. That's why we call it that. But Adam and Eve also had it. Do you know Eve? Adam and Eve played it when she ate the apple and she says, come on, honey, let's do it. And he said, yeah. And then you go on down there and you find some of the other prominent people in the Bible doing the same thing. You know. Yeah, here comes good old Abraham. Strong patriarch. Man of God. Sarah comes in and says, hey, look, we're not going to have this kid God says we're going to have. Says, I'll tell you what, we'll just give you a handmaid. We'll help this thing along a little bit. Now Ahab, I mean, Abraham, played Ahab. He said, yeah, man, let's do it. And we still got trouble in the world from that, don't we?
Right.
All right? And then there comes Isaac and his wife. Now, you know the Lord told Rebecca, wasn't that her name? The Lord told Rebecca before those boys were ever born which one of them was going to receive the birthright. But you know, she must not believe God because she sets up her own little scheme. And she gets it going good. And it fails. She never sees Jacob again after the day he stole the birthright. And then Jacob turns out like his mother. He's cheating, always trying to get something that isn't his. So it goes throughout the Bible. And then you come to King Ahab and Jezebel. And by then, they had gotten super good at it. Okay, here are some of the Jezebel and Ahab rebellious influence in the world today. Some of these you're going to see are really pronounced in our day. Feminism or effeminacy. These things, these are like TV programs. Father knows best, you know, but father's always bungling and mother's always clever. All right, sexual, no restrictions. Young people are confused and rebellious. Drugs, music, and sex. Society with emotional problems. I bet everybody in here has got emotional problems or had them. I still get emotionally strung out now and then about something when I get upset. All right? Homosexuality, weak men. You know, it's a strange thing, but it looks like men are becoming weaker in stature than they used to be. Oh, and the women. We're getting big and strong, aren't we? But do you know what happens? Put us to the test. We ain't got it. We're weak. We're shaking all over. But that's some of the things you see today. A lot of what you see today is a cover-up.
One other item on a previous page is divorce. One-parent families.
Oh,
you're
yeah.
Seeing more and more one-parent families. Okay, now I'd like to just list my Ahab characteristics. And I got Earlene here to comment about it if we need any addition to this. Number one, leaving the spiritual leadership up to Earlene about how to raise the children. Number two, breakdown of communications between Earlene, Marie, that's her daughter, and me as I pursued spiritual goals but neglected my family. Did that sound real good? I pursued spiritual goals but I neglected my family. Didn't come out too well. Number three, fear of getting hurt by others, especially by my family and Earlene's family. Number four, God of jobs at one time when I put my job first, family second, and God last. Okay, my order of priority today is God first, my family second, and my job last, or my occupation, what I make a living. I have a business, and I work as an engineer. That's what I make my living. That's my job. Number five, leaving things of God to wife occurred partially, such as receiving the baptism. I suggested that Earlene receive it first and check it out.
We made it.
Number six, I came from a poor family and had a materialistic drive until Byron, my son, died. Number seven, we had many misunderstandings as Ahab's husband and Jezebel wife. I'll tell you about my Ahab. She was Jezebel. Number eight.
He wouldn't let me.
I did not believe in having an argument with my wife. So I would go into my room, study engineering, and not talk to Earlene. So see, what I did is I escaped. I wouldn't confront Earlene. I wouldn't talk with her. I'd just go into my room and study engineering. Number nine, we even came close to separation and divorce at our low point about 10 years ago. I guess that's now probably more like about 12 or 13. Number 10, I was somewhat unemotional and could not show love the way I should. I couldn't let my emotions show. We dealt with a man this morning about being able to show his emotions. God has really done a work in his life today in love. It just really blessed me to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. God just poured his love into him. He got a prophecy from Brother Jack, and God is really moving in his life. And that just blesses me. See, he was all bound up. He had no feelings, no emotions, couldn't give and receive love, couldn't receive the love of God, couldn't receive the baptism. Well, I was somewhat that way, too. Number 11, the greatest blessing was that God kept us from wholeheartedly pursuing fame and fortune before Byron died. Earl and I are very talented. We can do almost anything we set our minds to. And we, many times Satan tried to get us to go off and make a lot of money. And man, we came awful close. But God always kept us from doing that. And we didn't realize our son was going to die at 12 and a half years old. So we didn't know that. So praise God, we spent our time with him. We left the fame and fortune to others. And I'm so thankful I didn't pursue fame and fortune. Number 13. Early instead, I acted like an Ahab, but did not give in any time. Now, I don't really believe that. I must have given in many times.
Well, you didn't really just... He didn't give in very much. He just wasn't there, so I did it my way.
Oh, that's the way it was. Praise God. How are curses recognized that come from ancestors? Even the world can recognize the curses. They just don't know what causes them. For example, suppose that the women in a family die of cancer generation after generation. Then we would say that that family is cursed. The next question would be, what is the original sin that started the generational line of cancer? If we cannot identify that sin by name, the next best thing to do is to forgive, in general, all ancestors that have sinned and caused this curse. Now I want Earlene to comment about blessings and curses.
Well, you know, I say blessings and cursings are the same in that they're both results. You know, the blessings are the results of what you do properly in obeying God, and curses are what you do when you disobey him. So they're both results. You know, when Adam and Eve were in the garden before they sinned, the human race had already all the blessings. After they sinned, all the curses began to come. Women would receive pain in childbearing. But, you know, she doesn't suffer that alone. The men suffer sympathetically with them. Women suffer with the men because the ground is cursed and men have to work extremely hard to make a living. And even today, that's true. In fact, it's getting more true right about now. Okay,
now she's going to talk about her ancestral background.
You know, some of us are cursed going and coming. And you listen to my background and you'll see. I am part Indian, American Indian, part English, part German, and part French. Those are the predominant, you know, the nationalities of my people's background. All right, in each of these backgrounds, some of the members of some of the families did not practice worshiping the Lord. And so because of this, curses came down the family line from both sides. And, you know, my father even practiced some witchcraft, and he didn't know it. You know, we call it mountain medicine, and they would charm warts off the children. My dad did that one day. And my dad, I don't believe he would have done that had he known it was witchcraft. He also had a well witched. Now, that was a good well. And when they put the pump in that well, not once did it ever fail. We had abundance of water. But when he did that, he cursed the family. Water witching is witching. Okay, here are some of the things that happened to me physically. I had inactive thyroid, female disorders, and heart disease. All right, now from my father's side came Masons. Do you know that Masons is a religion? You should get one of their books and read it. All right, today, my mother is a schizophrenia. And Jean and I took her home with us one time, and we worked with her. And she got pretty much all right. But she wouldn't stay with us. She wanted to go back home. And when she went back home, her problems returned to her. And I think this is mostly brought on her by her Indian background and the fact that she in my family, we were Southern Baptists. And they tell her, you know, Earlene and Jean have gone too far. You know, they're just crazy. And so it's hard for her to accept that what we're doing is all right when I have five brothers who say it isn't.
Tell them what happened to Wilburn. Okay, Earlene's second youngest brother had spinal meningitis and almost died. Now, this was after he had a body covered with warts. This is after his father charmed the warts off of his body. Okay, now, with God, you go to God, and God heals you, and you don't have to pay for it. But when you go to Satan, and he heals you, you pay for it. Generally, you pay for it with a more serious disease. Okay, so, I firmly believe that Dan charmed the warts off of Wilbur's body, and then in turn, Satan gave him spinal meningitis, the kind that kills you. He almost died. And I think the only thing that saved him is Earlene's mother and father did pray. In fact, the only reason I believe she's here today is because they prayed. And it just amazes me. She has no thyroid or parathyroid. And we befuzzled doctors after doctors, did just recently. And you can't live without a thyroid or parathyroid. Now, so in the natural, she'd be dead, but they prayed for her, and she's alive. So God did something for her. She takes thyroid medicine, but no parathyroid medicine. That also fools them. Okay, so anyway, she had praying parents. They were Southern Baptists, but lo and behold, they prayed, and God moved in Wilburn's life, and God moved in Earlene's life.
You know, it just shows you this, that even though you are a Christian and you sometimes do things you shouldn't, that God still does not abandon you.
How are curses broken? Once the curse is identified, then you know that there is sin in the camp. The sin must be dealt with by the individual, not the leader. The individual must confess his sins and the sins of the fathers. Now, we went into that. It was Leviticus 26:40-42. He should then forgive his ancestors, especially his parents, for bringing curses and torment into his life and family. After you have asked God to forgive all parties involved in the sin that brought the curse and repented yourself, then you have the right to break the curse in the name of Jesus Christ. And Earlene gave you an example of the heart disease in her family. What is done after the curse is broken? Once the curse is broken, cast out the demons that came in through the curse by their names. After the demons are cast out, pray for physical healing of the body and mental and emotional healing for the mind. After you have been delivered and healed, go and sin no more, lest the worst thing come unto you. You must change your way of thinking and acting, even though this curse was brought upon you by your ancestors. And I feel like I should say one thing, take a clue from Brother Glenn. I don't believe in inner healing. I believe that inner healing is a cop-out for not wanting to do deliverance. If you do deliverance, you won't have to pray for inner healing. Praise God. Enough said about that. Results of breaking curses. We have seen people begin to receive deliverance as the curses were broken, but before any demons were verbally cast out in the name of Jesus Christ. Deliverance sessions become more smooth with less manifestations of demons and violence to the people. When the demons tell us that they have a right to remain because of a curse, we break the curse, and then we are able to cast out the demons who refuse to leave. I just thought about Marie. Our daughter has been walking in deliverance ever since she was about 12, 13 years old, whenever God brought us into this. And she's still getting delivered. She came to us recently. I guess it's been now about a year ago or so, maybe less. And she was telling us about problems that she was having at night. And we figured they were demonic. So we got into this thing, and the Lord showed us, or I think maybe showed her. It was tied in with her grandfather, who is Earlene's father. And so we had Marie start out and forgive Dan for his witchcraft. Now, he was actually, at one time he was a Pentecostal, and he became a Baptist. I think he was a Christian. I think he's in heaven. But he was practicing folk medicine or mountain medicine, which is witchcraft. So I asked her to, you know, we took her through. We told her what to do, how to forgive Dan and so forth. And as she did this, then I told her to break the curses, she immediately began to receive deliverance. Now, we've seen people receive deliverance as we have broken the curse. Steps to freedom from curses. Now, listen carefully to this. I'm going to read it, reread it, and read the underlining. Number one, identify the name of the curse and the sin that caused the curse. Number two, repent and pray to God to take away the right for the curse to be in your life. Number three, forgive the ancestors. That's in ancestral curses, for their sin against you and placing this curse on the family line. Number four, break the curse in the name of Jesus Christ. Number five, cast out the demons that came in with the curse. Number six, discipline your life and sin no more. Go through it again. Identify the name of the curse and the sin that caused the curse. Number two, repent and pray to God to take away the right for the curse to be in your life. Number three, forgive your ancestors for their sin against you and placing this curse on the family line. Number four, break the curse in the name of Jesus Christ. Number five, cast out the demons that came in with the curse. Number six, discipline your life and sin no more. Now, just read you what I've got underlined. Number one, identify the name. Number two, repent and pray. Number three, forgive your ancestors. Number four, break the curse. Number five, cast out the demons. And number six, discipline your life. Okay, now I want Earlene to say a few words about jewelry.
Okay. I was one of these women who said, if it isn't the real thing, I don't want it. So as we grew older in our marriage, Gene would buy me really nice, expensive, fine jewelry. And he had bought me several things that I dearly loved. And one of them was a dove. She was 2 inches across, and she was solid gold. And I just thought she was the most beautiful thing. And he bought me a lot of chains of different types, and mostly the serpentine type. And he bought me a mother's ring, which I thought was so sweet, with birthstone rings in it, and other things. Well, I'm going to tell you about these things in particular because I came to give those up. The birthstone rings, the birthstones were assigned by witches for each month. You can read that in the Encyclopedia Britannica and in Child World Book. That's in both of those books. All right, anything that's serpentine, I don't really want anything to do with it, period. All right, then, let's see, what was the other thing? The dove. All right, in reading the Two Babylons and in reading other symbol books and other encyclopedias, you know, if you want to know what really went on in the world up until now, get you an old set of encyclopedias, 1910 or before. And in there is much information. And there you'll find out about Valentine's Day, Christmas. Many of the things that we've always thought were nice little sweet things have a very horrible, really, meaning. I had a business at one time, and in this business I received books from all over the world of things to sell in my shop. And I would receive books from the Philippines and from the Indies. And in these books were these names, charms, fetishes, amulets. And in there were pictures of all the Christian jewelry that I had. Now, I can't make you any doctrine on this, and I'm not preaching, don't wear any jewelry. But the Lord convicted me that it was not the thing for me to do, to wear jewelry that had demonic connections at their origin. So I asked Gene, you know, what can we do with this? And he didn't know what to do with it. So we looked in the Old Testament, and in the Old Testament it said they took it to the church and they gave it to the men who were making the materials for the tabernacle, and they took it and they worked with it. So we asked this missionary if he could use it, and he said he could. You know, now I've even got to thinking maybe I should have just thrown it away. You know, maybe I shouldn't have done anything with it except destroy it. But anyway, I've become convinced in my heart that for me, if something has a meaning before the time of Christ, and we as Christians have taken it and put a Christian meaning onto that particular thing, like the dove, then I don't think I can wear it. You know, I'll leave the rest up to you.
Now, pierced ears are my favorite example, and they're a sign of slavery. What they did in the Old Testament, when you had a slave and he served his time and he said, "My master is so good, I'd like to stay with him forever," they took him up against the door and they put his earlobe against the door and they took an awl and they pierced his ear. And that was a sign of permanent slavery. Now, as far as I'm concerned, pierced ears and women, it's a sign of slavery. Who's it a sign of slavery to? Well, Satan. See, actually, we all in a sense serve God. We're all God's servants. I wouldn't call us slaves because he didn't call us slaves. Okay, but I would say we're servants of God. But I think pierced ears is a sign of slavery to Satan. Now, I'm going to shake you up. Okay, what I want you to do is I want the women to take off their jewelry except for their wedding rings and their watches. And I also want men to take off any religious fetishes that they've got on or whatever. Okay, now I'm going to give you a list of things here. But just go ahead and take it off and put it in your pocketbook, and later on I'm going to break some curses. Now, some of you may even have hex signs on you. Let me list these to you while you're taking off your jewelry. 6-petal rosette and lucky stars. These are your lucky stars. Do Christians believe in luck? You go by luck? No, we don't go by luck. The Irish shamrock hex. It's a symbol of good luck, fast life, good fortune, and fidelity. The tulip. It's talking about faith, hope, and charity. Sounds good, doesn't it? You got any tulips on you? Unicorn. That's a symbol of virtue and piety. Fertility symbols. You want to get fertile by Satan? 12-petal rosette. That each month of the year be joyous ones. The discofink. The bird of happiness always near you and good fortune. Your lucky stars. lucky stars that guide your heart. Love and romance. Rosette and hearts of love and romance. Eight-pointed star. Star and rosette to bring abundance and goodwill. Friendship. And there's a symbol for each one of the above-listed hex signs. I've got a book at home. I got that years ago from, I think it's Irma sent that to me, Glenn Irma. It was 8.5x11 book, and I've kept it for a reference book. I still got it. I don't know whether y'all sell it anymore or not. But it's a real good reference book about hex signs. Now, listen to these things, and see if you have these on yourself. I'm dealing with yourself right now, but think about your house. See, you need to go back home and clean house. Early and I cleaned house a dozen times. And I don't think, it doesn't seem to be any end to the things that you find in your house. Books and objects identified with anything related to Satan's kingdom. There's a lot of those. Sinful activities of former residents left curses. So you need, if you bought a used house or used trailer or used car or whatever, you need to cleanse it. You need to anoint it with oil, pray over it, cast out the demons in it. Knocking or noisy ghosts, poltergeists and apparitions. You have any strange sounds in your house? Owl and frog images of all types. Irma has a real good testimony about this lady here in town who had a house full of owls, and she was dying of cancer. She got rid of her owls. She got rid of her cancer. Witches' masks and fetishes used by witch doctors. It surprises me how many missionaries will go to a foreign country and bring back the witch doctor's paraphernalia. There's a lady here who's a missionary from a foreign country, and I would just say to her, did you bring any of these back with you? Praise God. Great, you're smart. Objects and literature that pertain to false religions, cults, the occult, and spiritism. Were you in any of these false religions and so forth? You still have the books and the paraphernalia? Well, get rid of them. Okay, I tell you how scared I am of these things. We study these things. And if I don't go out and buy pure occult books and bring them into my house for reference literature. I try to find some Christian who's gone and done the research and put it in a Christian book, tell me what's wrong with it. Because I really fear just having occult books in my house, even though I'm teaching deliverance, I'm casting out demons. But pure occult, in other words, these satanic Bibles, Satan's, you know, I don't want those in my house.
Amen.
Graven images of gods. Well, that's graven images of demons. Objects dedicated to demons, that's idols and artifacts. Well, there's one religion that has a lot of artifacts, that's the Catholic religion. Okay, I believe those are demonic. Ouija boards and other occult paraphernalia. Anything that's occult or witchcraft or sorcery or mediumism and so forth, get rid of it. Prayers and worship to demons brings curses on the home. So you're cursing your home. Mexican sun gods. Now listen to this list here. Mexican sun gods, idols, incense, Buddhas, hand-carved objects from Africa or the Orient, anything connected with astrology, horoscopes, fortune-telling, and so forth. Books or objects associated with witchcraft, good luck charms, or cult religions, such as these came out of like metaphysics, Christian Science, Jehovah's Witnesses, the Catholic religion, and so forth. Rock and roll records and tapes. And like you've heard already, there isn't any such thing as Christian rock. It's either Christian or rock. Jewelry given to a person by someone in witchcraft, hex signs, ancient geometric and mystical motifs, jewelry designed to bring good luck and act as a talisman to chase evil. Like some of the jewelry. Okay, there are covens that make jewelry and they pray over it to sell it. And they send the demons with it. The Egyptian ankh, broken cross, which is a peace symbol. I'm sure you've seen that many times. Chaos, Polynesian tikis of gods, African jujus, Italian horn, protectors from the evil eye, hand with index and little fingers pointing up, crosses, clovers, stars, wishbones, lucky coins, mystic medals, horseshoes, religious fetishes, and statues. Products with cryptic curses, hidden, secret, occult curses, and dolls used for witchcraft and magic, puppets, cult objects, or representations.
Okay, I wanted to add a couple of things here because we haven't put this in the lesson yet. But how do you have a cornucopia in your house? Do you have a fleur-de-lis? A fleur-de-lis. All right, down in the south where I come from, a fleur-de-lis is everywhere. All right, a fleur-de-lis stands for the god Horus. And a cornucopia stands for Romulus and Remus?
Remus, R-E-M-U-S, I think
yeah.
That's what it's
called. All right, a cornucopia is what we call the horn of plenty. You know, it starts up here and gets bigger as it comes down and around. A lot of times at Thanksgiving, they'll fill it full of food. Okay. And a fleur de lis.
One of the children mentioned Cub Scouts.
It's called fleur de lis. You can look it up in any encyclopedia, and they'll tell you what it stands for. And the French down in New Orleans, we have it on every street corner. It has the name of the street and fleur de lis. And we have most of the street signs in Baton Rouge are that way. And, you know, I have a feeling that that invites these spirits attached to that to come to that street.
Okay, now, 5 steps to cleaning your house of cursed objects. Very simply, if you have a cursed object in your house, you're cursed. You invite the demons to come and live with you, and it'll just live with you. They torment you. Now, 6-way prayer of forgiveness. I'm hung up on forgiveness. God taught me that's the most important thing in deliverance. The detriment of not forgiving and the benefit of forgiving. Man, you hear me talk about that a lot. Okay. Now, realize only God can forgive sin. But you can forgive those who sinned against you for the effects that they have brought upon you. Okay, you forgive your ancestors, your descendants, and others. And then you ask God to forgive them and bless them. Why do you ask God to bless them? Well, it's just a good way of forgiving somebody. Lord, bless my enemy. You know, bless that person who's hurt me deeply. It's just helpful in forgiveness. Then ask God to forgive you. You forgive yourself for sins against your body. And then also ask forgiveness for spiritual adultery. What is spiritual adultery? It's idolatry. It's worshiping other gods. Number 2, break curses and soul ties from others, such as your ancestors and your parents or your ancestors, as well as others, and to others who are your descendants. And then you break curses of psychic or Catholic parents. So you break the curses coming to you, and then you break the curses going from you. Okay, people who pray psychic prayers, many Christians pray psychic prayers. That's a prayer that's contrary to the Word of God. It looses demons on other Christians most of the time. Or Catholic prayers. Now, I'm not saying a Catholic cannot go to heaven. I know some that I'm pretty sure are going. But by and large, the vast majority of Catholics are not Christians, and they're not going to heaven. Number 3, clean out the house of those objects or exorcise the objects. Now, suppose you can't throw an object away. It belongs to someone else. Well, you can still exorcise it. Why don't you anoint it with oil, cast the demons out of it, and see what you can do about it? Suppose it belongs to your father or your mother, you know. Well, if it belongs to you, get rid of it. Break it up, burn it, throw it in a garbage can, bury it. Number 4, anoint the house with oil and cast out evil spirits out of the house. Number 5, cast the demons out of the people that came in through the curses from others. For mass deliverance, okay, then I've got a list of cursed objects and so forth. Okay, so what would I recommend you to do? I recommend you to go home and examine everything that belongs to you. Completely, thoroughly examine everything that you have. Then I would recommend that you do accordingly. If it's demonic, don't give it away. Throw it away. Okay, then anoint your house with oil and pray over it and drive the demons out of it. Now, what we're going to do here is I'm going to come in deliverance and try to drive the demons out of you. And one of the reasons I want you to take off your jewelry is because if you have any jewelry on you that has demonic power, it will hold the demons within you. Now, sort of a summary. Number 1, God cursed the earth when Adam and Eve fell. Number 2, biblical curses apply to those or their descendants who have committed these sins. Number 3, curses on children can be used when specifically working with children. It's nice to see the children back in here. I sort of miss them when I cast demons in. Number 4, hex signs and all associated with those symbols are demonic. Okay, so we're going to work on the children here too. Now, blesses, curses, and duration. Now, the scripture, I'm just going to comment on this scripture. I don't want you to look it up in your Bible. Just write down the reference if you want to, because I don't have the time to go into all this. Exodus 20, verses 1 through 5. This is the curse of idol worship, which extends to the fourth generation of great-grandchildren. Deuteronomy 23, 2. This is the curse of the bastard, which extends to the 10th generation of descendants. A Bible generation is 40 years. 10 times 40 is 400 years. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Blessings are for obeying and curses for disobeying the Holy Bible. Verses 1 through 14 are blessings. Verses 15 through 44 are curses. And 45 through 68 is the wrath of God. Now, you're subject to the blessings and the curses of the Bible. But I don't think any of us are subject to the wrath of God. I don't believe we'll be around when God pours out his wrath on the earth. I believe we'll go through the tribulation, but I don't think we'll have to suffer the wrath. I think the wrath of the God goes to the heathen. Okay, Exodus 20, 1 through 5, and Ezekiel 18, 1 through 9. God showed early that this was a curse of idol worship brought on her by her Indian ancestors, which caused her and her family heart trouble. He also showed her how to break the curse. Now, we went into that, and Earlene explained that to you. Now, notice how a family can be cursed to the fourth or tenth generation by the ancestors. Actually, there are curses on a human race that go all the way back to Adam and Eve. Blessings can go from generation to generation if not broken by sin. Curses can also go from generation to generation if not broken by prayer. Very simply, we are blessed for obeying the Word of God, and we're cursed for disobeying the Word of God. Blessing and curses are promises from which God will either bring down the wrath of God or his favor on your family. God will supply all of your needs, mental, physical, spiritual, and material. You don't need luck. He can become your savior, baptizer, healer, deliverer, and prosperer. These things will only come to pass if you follow the Bible. For every promise, there is a condition. If you do not meet the condition, you will not receive the promise. So when you read the Bible, read the whole verse. Don't just read that part that sounds good and skip over the ifs, ands, and buts. There is probably a curse for every scripture that is disobeyed. Now, we're going to break over 66 curses today. Now, I can give you scripture for every curse that we're going to break, but we don't have time to do that, so I'm going to skip over that. Now, curses on children. Praise God for the children. Listen to this, children, and see if you can figure any of this out. Curses born from incestuous unions. Curse of idol worship extends to the fourth generation of great-grandchildren. Children who strike their parents. Any of you children struck your parents? You're cursed if you do. Those who curse their parents. Have you cursed your parents? Have you cussed your parents? You're cursed. The iniquity of the fathers on the children. That's where the fathers sinned and it came down on you. The children wandered for 40 years in the desert because of their ancestors. Idol worship. Well, you worship idols or your ancestors. Rebellious. Are you a rebellious child? You're cursed. The curse of the bastard extends to the 10th generation of descendants. Quite possibly many of you. I agree with Glenn. In fact, I know I agree with him. I think everyone has a curse of the bastard on them if it hasn't been broken. Okay, in the son's days, evil will come on his house. Depending upon what your ancestors done, the evil may come on you. The iniquity of the father upon the children. Over and over again, we've dealt with people who were parents, and we've seen the sins of the parents repeated in the children. So if your parents are sinful parents, quite possibly this is going to be repeated in you if it hasn't been broken or dealt with. Now, there's a curse against Protestants. Do you know that? Do you know that the Catholics curse you if you're a Protestant? Okay, let's read this and break it. Here's a curse that's on every one of you. Are there any Catholics in here? Is anyone in here who is a practicing Catholic who's not a Protestant? Okay. This is a curse that you have placed on the Protestants. Okay, come out of the Romish Pontifical. May God Almighty and all his saints curse them with a curse which the devil and his angels are cursed. Let all they have be cursed. Everything you got. Always and everywhere let them be cursed. Everywhere you go. Speaking in silent, let them be cursed. Within and without, let them be cursed. From the crown of the head to the sole of the foot, let them be cursed. Let all the members of their body be cursed. Cursed, let them be, standing or lying, from this time forth forever, and thus let their candle be extinguished in the presence of God at the day of judgment. That's a pretty good curse, I would say. I don't know whether they left anything out there or not. Okay, many of you are former Catholics. There's many Catholics who are praying for you to come back in the church. They burn candles for you. They pray for you. What they're doing is they're cursing you. It's a type of curse. Okay, so let's break that particular one right now. We'll pray this out loud. Lord Jesus Christ,
forgive me
for being a Catholic and not a Christian.
I forgive my ancestors,
my friends and my relatives, who think I have gone astray and become a cursed Protestant. Now I forgive them, Lord. And I ask you to forgive them. And I break all these curses placed upon me by my well-meaning friends and relatives. I ask you to show them, Lord, what true salvation is. For it's in Jesus' name I pray and break these curses on me. Amen. Okay, vows and curses. Now, this is something I believe in, too. And men, you're responsible for your wives and your daughters. In the Bible, vows were solemn promises to God. Now, this can be not only vows that they make, but vows that you make, either positive or negative. Under the Mosaic law, the vows and promises of dependents such as children, unmarried daughters, and wives were void, except when ratified by the express or tacit consent of the father or husband. This afforded protection to them against rash vows. Well, very clearly, God apparently felt that women could make rash vows, and that men should protect them. The whole matter is explored in Numbers 30, and I've got some other scriptures here. Broken vows can be a source of real trouble. This is why Jonah repented and renewed his vows in the belly of the fish, saying, I will pay my vows. If a vow is discovered to be contrary to Scripture and dishonoring to God, it should be formally renounced and forgiveness sought for making it. A vow that is expressly evil or is for an evil purpose should never be made nor kept. To keep such a vow for the sake of consistency is to compound one evil for another. A curse has been defined as uttering a wish of evil against one. Think of this. Think of what you have said. To imprecate evil, to call for mischief or injury to fall upon, to execrate, to bring evil upon or to blast, vex, harass, or torment with great calamities. That's what a curse is. We have found that even the wrong kinds of prayer and laying on of hands or prayers at a distance have resulted in hurtful and dismaying results with the effects of the curse. So, one Christian can curse another. Okay, let me deal with couple things here. One is, let me deal with the men. Okay, wake up, men. Okay, Lord Jesus, forgive me for letting my wife and my daughters make vows that they should not have made. They were contrary to the Word of God. That were hurtful to them and to our family. Forgive me, Lord Jesus. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, now don't let your wives and daughters make rash vows. Okay, let's go into another one here. A lot of Christians pray psychic prayers. Realize you can't force anybody else to do anything. You don't pray any kind of prayers to try to control others. That's a psychic prayer. Okay, now this is men and women. Lord Jesus Christ, forgive me for the psychic prayers. Anything that was contrary to the Word of God. I repent. I renounce it. I'm sorry I loose demons on other people. I break those curses in Jesus' name. I break every psychic prayer that's been prayed against me by anyone. I reverse these prayers. I reverse these curses. I send them back to the sender. Lord, wake these people up and show them the error of their ways. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Okay, let me read you something about hex signs, because I don't think you really understand it. Maybe you can pick some of this up. I wouldn't doubt that many of you have some hex signs around. The five-pointed stars have been used by witches for centuries and called the pentacle or pentagram. With the 2 points up, as in an eastern star, are any of you in the eastern star masons? It is called the sign of the goat or Satan. 1 point up symbolizes witchcraft. When witches want to talk with demons, they will often stand within a pentagram, and the demon will appear within a six-pointed star by two triangles. That's a hexagram. Commonly called the Star of David. How many of you got some beautiful Star of David? The Mogan David, that's also a wine, as it is called, was a Kabbalistic magic symbol for white magic, and the word hex comes from the hexagram. All Masonic symbols. Are you a Mason? Are you an Eastern Star or anything that likes that? Okay, are your ancestors? Were ancient witchcraft signs long before Freemasonry was created. The initiation rituals for witchcraft and for Masons are identical. Again, demonstrating Masonic roots into witchcraft. The only difference is that the initiated witch disrobes completely at the close and signs in his own blood. The wiggly horn, I'm sure you've seen that many times hanging down on people's necks, called the Italian horn, is also a witchcraft device. It's a leprechaun staff or unicorn's horn that means that you trust in the devil for your finances. The Egyptian ankh, that's a cross with a loop at the top. In other words, it's a cross like this, and at the top there's a little loop. Usually it goes through a necklace. It's a sex goddess symbol, meaning you despise virginity. Believe in fertility rites and worship and serve the Egyptian sun god Ra. That's the Egyptian name for Lucifer. And we're seeing that name Ra more and more in the advertising. All the signs of the zodiac are occult symbols, as are the little Mexican sun gods and Buddhas. The crescent, moon, and star are the sign of initiate into witchcraft. In the Old Testament, God gave cunning skills to hands of artisans who fashioned the furnishings and decorations for the tabernacle. The use of these signs and symbols and others which are the property of Satan can bring demons to your home and or your person. Neither shalt thou bring an abomination into thine house, lest thou be a cursed thing like it. But thou shalt utterly abhor it, for it is a cursed thing. Okay, anything you have on yourself right now, anything you just took off that's cursed, you become cursed like it in the sight of God. And so what God does, he says, all right, there's my Christian son and my daughter. They're going around with this cursed jewelry on them. And so Satan says, I got a right to them. I got a right to loose demons on them. And so God says, yes, you have a right. So here go the demons to you. So get rid of anything that's cursed, or you're cursed just like it. Okay, let's see how my time's going here. Okay, there's a lot of good stuff in this, and I'm just going to read this rapidly. And then we're going to get into breaking curses and casting out demons. Christians walking in the knowledge and power of their spiritual authority are especially targeted for attention by the enemy. And I guarantee you, you fellas are. You've learned about deliverance. Man, you're one of the prime targets of Satan. Higher level witches will scan the person on whom the curse is to be placed. For example, a woman whose parents were witches was hesitant to break curses and send them back to the source for fear that they were coming from her relatives in witchcraft. Some of these curses we have broken here today may have gone back to your relatives. Well, that's where they ought to go. For some reason, women seem more susceptible than men to attack through curses. No doubt about that. As I have observed Earlene, I think Earlene's a very strong Christian woman. There's no doubt in my mind she's not as strong as I am physically or spiritually. Intelligent-wise, she may be more brilliant than I am. But a woman is the weaker vessel. And that's, you're not inferior. You're not a second-class citizen. You're not a slave. You're not a dog. You're very simply the weaker vessel. And the men are supposed to protect you. God's chain of command establishes the father, the husband, or the male members of the Christian assembly as a spiritual covering and counseling resource for the women. People often state that they are not under any curses. As regarding final salvation, no. But as far as your life here and now, yes. You definitely can be affected. When man broke God's law and brought black people from Africa to America as slaves, it opened the way for many curses. And I saw some black brothers. I consider you my brothers and sisters. The church I go to is about 50% black and 50% white. I wish we had a tremendous number of black people that came up here. I'd like to see this place. I'd like to see about half black and half white up here. I wish that somehow or the word would get out that they're welcome to come up here and receive deliverance and fellowship. You cannot get away from judgment for breaking God's laws. Even to this day, Louisiana is ruled. That's where we live. Louisiana is ruled by the Prince of Southern Curses and Arkansas by the Prince of the Occult. Have you noticed how much occult there is up here? Just go around to the stores. Or go up. Eureka Springs is one of our favorite places. We used to go up there a lot. Look at all the occult up there. Those from the northern United States have forebears in Europe who brought witchcraft curses from the Black Forest, Scandinavia, and Druids in England. So Earlene had some of those curses in her background. When you come into contact with occult practices such as a Ouija board, horoscopes, fortune tellers, hypnosis, or ESP, you're cursed, your children are cursed, your grandchildren are cursed, and your great-grandchildren are cursed, all in one operation or one sin. Anything in the occult realm requires two steps to destroy the grounds for attack. People ask if every single occult contact will open the door to Satan. Take no chances, just state, I am closing any door I may have opened to you, Satan, through contact with a Ouija board, astrology, fortune-telling, hypnosis, and so forth. Well, let's do that. I am closing any door,
I am closing any door
I have opened to you, Satan,
I have opened to you, Satan,
through contact with a Ouija board,
astrology,
fortune-telling,
hypnosis,
ESP,
or any other occult,
or Satan worship,
or witchcraft,
or sorcery practice.
In Jesus' name.
Because you or someone else opened the door to invite attack, you are now legally closing that door and putting Satan on notice about it. What we've been doing all day here, we've been closing doors. Closing doors that you open or your ancestors open. The occult is a deadly and dangerous area. Most people are unaware that witches in Africa have been fasting 30 and 40 days to break up Christian marriages in Africa and in this country, especially those among the leadership. One thing to remember about fasting is that basically it opens one up to the spirit world. See, when you go on a fast, you're going to hear voices on both sides. And many Christians go astray because they don't know the voice of God and the voice of Satan. When on a fast, check everything very carefully. There are two stations broadcasting. A curse causeless cannot come. Therefore, when they do not hit, we must seek out the reason and eliminate it. In other words, check your cracks in your armor and see why they're there and eliminate the cracks. A curse from the law comes from attempting to obey the letter of the law rather than trusting in the Lord. Okay, that would be a good sermon for Brother Jack. Explain the difference there. In other words, we don't obey the letter of the law. We obey God. I believe in the law of the Bible. I believe the whole Bible. Okay, but we don't try to legalistically obey the law. I'm probably not doing a very good job explaining that. Okay, Christ redeems us, redeems those who put their trust in Him. If you suspect a curse is rooted in the occult, it must be broken back to at least four generations. Why? Because occult is idol worship. It's cursed to the third and fourth generation. When a demon seems to resist the breaking of a curse, break it back 15 or 20 generations. You can break it back all the way to Adam and Eve. Twala the other day broke it back, I think, 50 generations. You can break it back just as far as you want to. Can't go wrong by breaking it back to Adam and Eve. Never hesitate to break a curse, for it's quite simple. Now, I'm going to great trouble to teach you about this, but it's really not difficult to break a curse. We must destroy the curses further all around us to entangle and hinder. Some say they want no part of it, but there is a curse on those who will not fight or slack in the Lord's battle. I imagine a lot of you are cursed for that. Do you know that you're cursed if you're unwilling to fight God's battles? Now, the deliverance ministry, man, it's a battle. It is a battle. Boy, we had a battle yesterday. We were battling yesterday for the attack on Earlene and I, and I was getting everybody to pray, and we won that battle, and we got the victory. But, man, it was a battle, and it was not without physical infirmities. Seeing to the needs of the poor doesn't mean to be a gullible goose, but to be prayerful and see exactly what God wants you to do. Well, you're cursed if you don't help the poor, but you don't just blindly go about helping the poor. There's one particular lady and her daughter that God sort of brought us together. We call her our widow and our orphan. And just recently, I married our orphan off. She's now married. She's no longer an orphan. She's a married lady. But anyway, that's God impressed us to particularly help this one widow and her daughter. The husband was killed. He died. She was a widow. She was not a divorcee. A divorcee is not a widow. What would have happened to the Good Samaritan if he had helped everyone he saw in need on the road that day? We must tune in with the Lord's will and follow Him to discover which persons are our responsibility. Those He has equipped you to minister to financially, spiritually, in every way. Whoever God tells you to help, you'll have the wherewithal to do it. Those will fritter away all of your money, and God will judge you for foolish inheritance. If you spend your tithe money or your offerings foolishly, God's going to judge you for that. See, I really admire Glenn and Irma, too, for taking care of the finances that come up here, because every finance you see, everything you give them, every dollar that you give them, God will judge them for the way that they take care of it. And they very scrupulously take care of it. And I admire them for that. And they're also wise. See, they're wise before God because they will answer that. The pastor is the same way. You bring your money into a pastor and he foolishly uses that for his own benefit or whatever, man, he's going to catch it when he gets to heaven. So I admire Glenn and Irma for scripturally, carefully taking care of this money. There is a curse on ministers and any believer who will not give the glory to Christ. Well, how often have you seen that? The ministers who want the glory themselves, they're cursed. If the wrong kind of people pray for you, it can hit you like a curse. That's psychic prayers. There is charismatic witchcraft also, and often you'll find groups presided over by a charismatic witch. A charismatic witch is a woman, usually, who tries to control others through personal prophecy. Or you can have a charismatic warlock in the pulpit as a pastor who tries to control others and force them to do everything that he wants done. Okay, he's a witch or a warlock. Okay, stay very close to God's written word. Let everything else be strictly supplementary, to be checked and cross-checked by the word of God. Okay, this is, I like the lessons that Glenn teaches. He usually teaches them right out of the Bible. He takes the verses and then he comments on them. And I wish I had the time to use the verses, because I try to teach you what comes out of the Bible too. I just don't have time to give you all the verses. There is a curse on improper family structure which causes defective family priesthoods. I guess you're the curse of the Jezebel and Ahab. Okay, if you're an Ahab man and a Jezebel woman, your family is cursed. You got improper family structure. You're going to pay for it with your children. Your children may turn out to be lesbians and homosexuals. If they don't do that, they'll probably go off and end up with a relationship like yours, out of order, causing all kind of problems. There is a curse from trusting in man instead of God, depending on the flesh instead of the spirit. How many of you are afraid of man? You know, you fear your pastor. You can't go against any man. You're so afraid of man that you can't follow God. How many of you are so afraid of man? Don't raise your hands. Probably a bunch of you out there. They're so afraid of man that you can't follow God. Well, we better deal with that. That's a bad one. Do you want to follow God or you want to follow man? Okay, let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, I want to follow you. I don't want to follow man.
I don't want to follow man.
I don't want to follow my husband.
I don't want to follow my
husband. Or my wife.
Or my wife.
Or my pastor.
Or my pastor.
Or my Christian leader.
Or my Christian leader.
Or myself.
Or myself.
I want to follow you.
I want to follow you.
And you alone.
And you alone.
Forgive me, Lord Jesus.
Forgive me, Lord Jesus.
For following man.
For following man.
For fearing man.
For fearing man.
I am sorry. Now break the curse on me of control by others, of charismatic witchcraft, of Jezebel and Ahab. Set me free, Lord, to follow you and do what you tell me to do. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Of course, some are more susceptible than others, and you need to become aware of where you're weak and brace against it. See, as you come up to this camp, check out your weak points. Every one of you got weak points. Every one of you had strong points. Early and I have weak and strong points. Okay, we work on those weak points. We try to strengthen them, get rid of them, whatever. In sexual areas, there are many kinds of curses that can cause trouble. Now, last time I came up here, I was really impressed by God to teach on sexual impurities, demons, and diseases. And the Lord really impressed me about that. And if you want to get that tape, you can find out about sexual problems. Okay, praise the Lord. Now we're ready to break some curses and cast out some demons. Can you give me some water, honey? Okay, now, I've got a list of here of, 60, 70 curses. I think I better have you pray out loud. Like Glenn said, it's always more effective if you pray than if I pray. I can pray for you and you can agree with me, but still, it's nothing like you praying. Opening your mouth and praying. Let those words come out and meaning what you pray. Okay.
Maybe we ought to mention something the ladies talked about upstairs, because yesterday we ran into death wishes several times. and we didn't really think about that as being a curse, but we had such a problem with it, with her, that we just decided we'd break this curse of cursing yourself with death. Have you ever said, I wish I was dead? Have you ever said, I've had about all I can stand of this? And different things like that. And when you do that, you invite death to settle right on you.
Okay, take them through a prayer of forgiveness and then break the curses.
Father, in Jesus' name,
I ask you to forgive me
for hating my own life
and wishing I was dead.
I break that curse
that
I spoke against myself.
In the name of Jesus Christ,
I now thank you
for my life
and for everything
that you'll send me in my
life. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay, everybody stand up. Or continue standing up. Okay, follow after me. I break any curses placed on me or my descendants
from uttering a wish of evil
against anyone
to imprecate evil,
to call for mischief
or injury to fall upon,
to execrate,
to bring evil upon or to,
to blast,
vex,
harass,
or torment
with great calamities.
I break these curses
in Jesus' name.
I break the curses back to
10 generations
or even to Adam and Eve
on both sides of my family.
And destroy every legal home
and every legal ground
that the demons have to work
in my life.
I break the curses that follow
in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Mistreating God's chosen people.
Adultery, harlotry, prostitution.
Idolatry.
Refusing to fight for God.
Not giving to the poor.
Swearing falsely by God.
Robbing God of tithes.
Hearkening to wives rather than God.
Cheating people out of property.
Oppressing strangers, widows, and orphans.
Incest with sister, mother, or others.
Pride, ego, and vanity.
Doing the work of God deceitfully.
Abortion or causing the unborn to die.
Willing deceivers.
Disobedience to the Bible.
Keeping cursed objects.
House of the wicked.
Stealing.
Failing to give God the glory.
Dishonoring parents.
Making graven images.
Taking advantage of the blind.
Bestiality.
Murder secretly or for hire.
Putting trust in man.
Rewarding evil for good.
Having bastards.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.